Hey, Rock Movers. I cannot wait to introduce you to Season 4's guest. You are definitely in for a treat today. I had so much fun interviewing Heather Stewart, a real life coach. Heather is from Canada, and we had the best time talking about all things coaching, elevating, and truly just a heartfelt conversation about how women support women. She shares how she became a coach and about how important it is for you to create your best life. You can reach her in the links in the episode, and she also has her own podcast, so that link is in there as well. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to this conversation with Heather Stewart. Okay, Rock Movers, you heard the introduction and kind of a little preface on what you could expect today with Heather Stewart, my amazing new friend. I'm so glad you're in my world now because I can already tell we're going to be fast friends and my Rock Movers are going to love you because you, sister, are moving amazing rocks every day. And right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that I found you. And I agree. Like, we are on the same page for so many things. It's so awesome. I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, our vibe attracts our tribe. And you right? and I are of the same tribe. So I know my people are going to get you and you're going to get them. So you're going to have all kind of nuggets for them. Starting with the first question that they're so used to hearing is this bag of rocks that you've been carrying, or in the past, not now.
Not anymore. No, I'm done.
That you carried around. Tell me, what was that biggest rock that really was the instigator for you to begin moving the rest of the rocks out?
Right. It's interesting. I feel like I had a couple of really big ones. And when you remove one big rock, you go, oh, I feel so much better. And for a little while, you coast along, and then you look down, you're like, oh, wait, I forgot this other big one. So to go kind of further back than I often go, I was in a relationship with my first partner who I didn't know. I was pretty young, that he was abusive. Like, he didn't hit me. It was just a really, this relationship that I had no idea was, I was being treated so poorly. Mm-hmm. And the way I describe it to people was, for a really long time, I just thought I was stupid and ugly, like, just put it in real life words. And I didn't know that I was actually pretty smart and that I wasn't ugly. You know, every now and then I still can hear that voice inside of me. And he was very controlling, and I had no friends except him. I was quite isolated. Mm-hmm. And one day, the way I tell the story is, one day I was in the back seat of the car, back when we didn't all have four-door cars. Remember, you had to move the seat forward.
Yep.
And I was in the back seat, and his mom was in the front seat, and he'd gotten out and she'd gotten out, and he had moved the seat so that I could get out. But I was picking something up, and he said something really obnoxious to me. And his mother said, "You can't talk to her that way." And something slapped me in the face. I said, "Wait a minute. He always talks to me that way. That's not right." I was so young. I was only in my 20s.
Wow.
And then suddenly I was awake. Like, someone had woken me up, and I started paying attention. And I realized, this relationship is really bad. I don't have any say in anything. And when I think that I do have something to say, somehow in having the conversation, it gets turned around, like he could somehow turn it. And I'm like, I would sit there going, I'm sure that I was right in that conversation, but now I'm wrong. How did this happen?
Wow.
So it took me 2 years, to be completely honest. It took me 2 years to leave him. That was a big, huge, huge rock.
Yeah.
And I moved it, and suddenly I was free from that. And then I was like, scared, witless, because I had never I'd never been without someone telling me what to do. So it sounds super freeing, but it's also super scary. And this was back, before there was a lot of people talking about anything, trauma, mental health, coaching, anything to help you navigate.
Yeah. So, I love that it's more commonplace now.
Yeah. So and helpful.
I want to just like recognize what you shared, because I have a very similar, shocking, a very similar experience.
Right.
With my first husband, and which was a very, very short time. And I was very, very young, younger than you. But we get used to certain things. And I want to share this because I want the listener to capture that we can normalize things. And we also can say, but my trauma, my abuse, my this isn't as bad as that person's or that person's or that experience. And I just want to encourage you that just because it isn't, you know, you're not being bloodied or broken bones or beaten up physically with a hand does not make it okay.
Doesn't make it okay.
It does not make it right. And it does not mean that you have to tolerate it.
Right. And sometimes you don't even recognize that that's not okay.
Yeah. Right. Especially if that was something familiar.
Right.
From a childhood experience. If you grew up seeing that in someone else, your parents or, you know, influential people that you looked up to, if you were taught that this is a normal behavior, you tend to gravitate to that as an adult because it's what's familiar and comfortable. Even if you don't like it or don't want it, it's still the familiar. So
that was massive. Like that was, and it was interesting because at the time, I had friends. I thought I had friends. Let me put it that way. But when I finally made that decision, I felt like they were all gone. Somehow something happened that I was alone. And I didn't have any assistance or support. So I actually went back for about 3 days because I thought, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I went back. And then I said, oh, no, I can't stay. I can do it. And I left permanently. And it was just, you know, when we're past it, we think, thank goodness I did it. But when we're making those decisions, it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to make that decision. And sometimes because I was just with a client over the last few days, for some people, it's not the right decision. And there's other ways to manage it because there's other things going on. But for me, it was the right decision. And then it took me a little while and I had a bit of a crazy time. And I moved past that rock and I was a CPA. I had been, and when I hit about 15 years of being a CPA, I realized I had another rock. I didn't like being an accountant, and I was an accountant because of this person who I had spent all these years with who said, you'll make lots of money. You become an accountant. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I was good at it. But it just wasn't fulfilling at all. So the next big rock that I moved was I quit my career. people thought I was crazy. And I decided to go into wellness. I became a yoga teacher and I became a massage therapist and I became a personal trainer. And I left that.
Your people that saw you as this really number cruncher, mathematic person, see you going what we lovingly call woo-woo.
Yeah.
She lost her mind. She's gone just completely cuckoo.
I had one friend. He was actually a friend of my partner at the time. I was with a new partner who also thought I'd lost my mind. And his friend took me out to lunch because he was going to have me committed. He thought that I had gone crazy. And I thought, wow, it's just a job. It's just a job. You know, we tie our identity into our careers.
Right.
It's just a job. So I left that partner as well because he couldn't manage this new realization that I was in the wrong place and I needed something different for my soul path. I was going on a different way. Like, no, my soul path is to help people, not to count millions of dollars, right? For other people. Yeah. And I just went fully into wellness. I went over to India. I traveled. I opened my own yoga studio. I found a new partner who loved everything that I was doing and loves supporting me. I'm still with him 19 years later, who just says, that sounds great. When I come up with a crazy idea, that sounds great. I'm so excited. Like, this is the support you want in your life. I think they're crazy ideas. He thinks they're fabulous. So I had moved that rock of my career, the wrong career. So I moved the wrong partner and I moved the wrong career. And that opened so many doors and opportunities and has just felt, I felt so full since I was able to move those out of the way.
I love that. So now that you've moved those out of the way and learned the lesson of really loving and honoring yourself, your soul's purpose and who you are, the things that you need, kind of that oxygen mask philosophy of taking care of yourself first so that you have a full cup or enough oxygen to give others.
Yes.
What is it that you're doing now? Because we can see that your name is Heather Stewart Coaching. So we know that you're a coach and that you serve from that place. And obviously you love big, but share with us and my listeners how you're coaching, who you're coaching, and really maybe, so if I was wanting to come to Heather as you're in this next phase of sharing, what are some things that they're saying? Like,
right. So I've talked to mostly women, and what I hear the most often is, sometimes I'm lost. I've had clients who I've said, what makes you happy? And they'll say, I don't know. They've lost who they were, or they've given so much of themselves away that they feel like there's nothing left for them. I had one client say, is this all there is? She had ticked her boxes, got my job, got, you know, the career. I've got the house, I've got the dog, I've got the husband, I've got the house in the suburbs, all of these things. And then, oh, now what? You know, what's left of life? I'm done. I'm like, no, you're not done.
What a perfect example of when we set those standards of if and when I get there,
right,
I'm going to be happy, right? Because when you acquire all of those things and you get there,
what do you do?
If you're not happy in pursuing those things that light your soul on fire, getting there is not going to make it happen.
No, no. It's the work has to be internal. I mean, all of the work is internal. And so I help women. I call them overwhelmed overachievers. Right?
That was so my path.
Right. It's like juggling everything that you need to juggle for everyone else. And if you drop one of those balls, the world's going to end, but your balls are already on the floor that are for you. So you're like, well, I'll just get to those later. I've got to keep these ones up. And that's heading towards burnout. Like I've talked to so many women who actually hit burnout. And they couldn't be there for anything because they had crashed. And I want to catch people before they hit the wall. I mean, obviously I'm going to help them get back up off the floor if they hit the wall, but I want to get them before they get there because recovering from burnout takes time and is tiring for you. And you feel so, I've just seen people so discouraged after they've hit burnout. It's like you go to the doctor before you're really, really sick. Go get some help before you really, really crash and burn.
Yeah.
Because life is supposed to be fun. You are supposed to feel lit up. You are supposed to be here to enjoy yourself. You want to talk woo-woo? I went and saw Abraham last year live in Denver. It's like, wow. Yes, you know who Abraham is. I saw your eyes go.
Yes, yeah. So for those that are listening and don't know who Abraham is, Abraham is
entity
an entity that Esther Hicks shares, and she is the human voice of this entity, this
amazing, loving voices
that she shares. And I'm trying to think of the word that she calls it, but anyway, she's the communicator for this. And Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks, he's passed since, but they have this whole training series, and she travels and talks and shares. And there's some things I don't understand. There's a lot of things about it that I don't understand, but there's also so many wonderful lessons in what Esther shares as the message of Abraham.
Yeah, her messages are so beautiful. I said to somebody, questioned me once, because I call her, I say she channels Abraham.
Channel, that's the word I was trying
to say. They say, that's not real. I say, I don't care if it's real or if she's making it up, because the messages are beautiful and uplifting and supportive of people's journeys. And wherever they come from doesn't matter, right?
I think that's the place that I've had to go to, because I don't understand it.
No, I don't understand it.
And I also don't understand how oxygen works, and I still breathe.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the wind works, and I still enjoy it, and the sun. So I just appreciate the things that come into our life at the right time to give us the right information to get us to where we go.
Yeah.
At the pace that we're supposed to. I just trust that that journey is there for a reason.
Yes, so definitely.
For those that are curious about it, you can Google Esther Hicks or Abraham Hicks. And
there's really good free videos on YouTube. That's where I first found Abraham, right?
And if you start, you're going to get all of them popping up on your feed. So just get rid of it.
Yeah.
They're going to start showing up.
They're going to curate your feed for you.
Yes. But the law of attraction, the law of manifestation, all of that is really the core of her teaching, and just the law of flow is what really not resisting the flow, and not missing the moments, because everything is so precious and right in front of us. And we tend to speak the things that we want. We speak it away by our doubt and by focusing on what we don't want. And so she just has a message to help you focus on what you do want.
So, right.
And it is
so beautiful. I love it. It is very beautiful, because I think that if people trusted, so I'm thinking of my clients, if they trusted that the truth of life is that you don't need to struggle and be in pain and be unhappy, which is where I try to help people find. I mean, I'm not saying that life is unicorns and rainbows, because life is going to bring you lessons, and some of the lessons you're going to bump up against pretty hard. But
without the rocks and without the lessons and the valleys and the dark, we wouldn't appreciate the beauty and the light.
Right.
The beauty of the rainbow.
Exactly.
Without the rain, we wouldn't have the rainbow. So
yeah. But knowing, I think it's the trust that even if you're in those places, that your soul nature is in a happy, uplifted place. So when these things happen, instead of fighting against them, I'll use the example. So in 2020, I had a stroke. And I mean, I'd been in the health industry for quite a while now, and I was living healthy, and I was following all of my own guidelines. And at first I was thinking, these doctors don't know what they're talking about. What do you mean I've had a stroke?
Right?
Gosh darn it. So then I realized, oh my gosh, Heather, stop being so ridiculous. I started coaching myself. I can talk to myself that way, and I'll take the lesson. So I said, okay, so I'm in the hospital, which is good. I'm in the ER for 3 days because there's no beds. There's a reason that I can't get out of this. It's Halloween weekend in downtown Toronto. There's a reason I'm in the ER for 3 days with lots of craziness going on, and that I can't see properly. I had double vision, so I couldn't use the phone escape. So I was quietly lying in a cubicle in the ER for 3 days, listening to what was going on outside of my cubicle. And I realized, and this is where my new podcast, my podcast came from, the Back to Me podcast. I said, okay, I had been business coaching for a little while for health and wellness people. That's how I started kind of expanding into the coaching world. And I said, the universe was saying, Heather, that's too small. We need you to go bigger. We need you to help in more ways. We need you to pay attention to these conversations out here where people are suffering and you can hear that they're scared and you can hear, you understand what's happening for them. You need to help them before they get here, kind of thing. So, and the name of my podcast dropped in and the realization of my new coaching program dropped in. So everything came in those 3 days. I call it a 3-day silent retreat sent to me by the universe.
People, right there. So we can mark these on my podcast. I'm going to mark that because right there was an exact example of how to see things as happening for you, not to you.
Yeah. And once you get the rocks out of the way, you can see them clearer, right?
See the lessons when you stop looking at the rock.
Yeah. So that could have been a huge, like, oh, my life, why me? But I said, no, that's not what I do. And I had been practicing. I mean, they waited for a little while for me to get my practice in place. So I'd been practicing.
You have the skills and the language to process it. Yeah.
And because I did resist for, a good 12 hours what was going on until they put the bracelet.
Be strong.
Yeah, they put the bracelet on me that said, no, you're staying. It was like a handcuff. I said, okay, so I will surrender to what's happening in this now moment. I'm not relinquishing my power. I'm letting these people help me. Because we're, as women especially, we have trouble letting people help us.
We do. I just had that conversation yesterday I was at an event with a bunch of nonprofits. Mm. And they're all very service, heart servant leaders. And the table I was at had three women that were just doing incredible things. And they all said the same thing. They were invited by the leader of the, because it was a credit union foundation that was doing this for nonprofits. And they were all invited because she told them, you take care of everyone else and you never ask for help. You're paying for your nonprofit out of your own pocket and you need to stop.
Right.
And let people help you.
Yes.
And we all talked about how hard that was. One, pride, because somehow we think we're supposed to solve the world's problems on our own. And if we can't, then somehow that's a representation of our failure or our shortcomings.
And we just talked about how many people were in the world before we came on.
Yes,
and
there's almost 8 billion. So you guys missed this conversation. So we're going to replay it because it's valuable. There's 8 billion people. If half of those are women, let's just say, I don't know how many, but 4 billion women, Heather and I together could not serve all of them. So that's why she and I both really work hard to uplift and give other women ample airtime on our platforms, on our podcast, because we know by helping you get connected, helping you get connected to Heather, you're going to love her. And if I can't serve you, I know she can.
Right.
And so by us helping give a voice, I'm president of Texas Business Women's Organization. I have 18 speakers coming to my event that we all do similar things. And in different ways, we serve the populace of the Dallas Metroplex and women in the Metroplex. And 4 different women's organizations, their leaders are going to be represented there. And they're all going to have booths promoting their organizations. And I had women telling me, you're crazy. They're going to steal your members. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
They don't do what I do and I can't do what they do. It's not about that. It's about we win together,
Right.
We elevate each other because they're going to offer services I can't.
I heard a description once. It's not pie. If I have a big piece of pie, that doesn't mean I'm stealing your pie. It's not pie. It's just life.
I don't know about you, but how many things do you do? Like, I'm a member of this organization and that one. And I get little bits and pieces from all of them. So this idea of competition is just so destructive. I choose collaboration and elevation over competition and refuse to see women as my competition. Like, you're my sister and I want
to. We're not here. Yeah. You get further. I also love the there's an African proverb. It's like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Yeah.
And I think that is so intelligent to realize that helping each other helps you elevate, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships. So
absolutely.
Helping each other will take you so much further than trying to push everyone down and out of the way so that you can be on top.
Yeah.
And it's just, my brain just turned off right there.
Okay. It's also the, if we go back to the paradigm of in, let's say, pre-1920, pre-19th Amendment, there was this presence of men in the workforce, and then World War I hit and they needed women in the workforce. And so now we have this whole nother dynamic. And then the dynamic just kept changing over and over again. And then the ERA movement came in and women have come into the workforce and had to fight.
Yes.
For the right to be here and the right to be paid fairly and the right to be seen and the right to vote and all the things. And not just women, but minorities and different disabilities and diversities. And throughout all of that, there is this underlying current of different means less and don't mess with tradition. Like, this is how men did business, so this is how we have to do business.
Right.
And that doesn't work for everyone.
Right. And we've been spending all of our time trying to fit into that idea of what business is.
Yes.
And prove that we belong.
Yeah. And that's where businesses, I feel like, have companies, organizations that refuse to see the power of change and inclusivity and just adapting to new ideas. You see them failing, and these companies that have taken in new ideas and evolved, you see them flourishing.
Right.
And for women who are trying to fit into that square hole of an industry that doesn't recognize their gifts and the way that they do things differently. I had this on a coaching call too. You know, we have women staying in the workforce longer or coming back into the workforce, and then you're going through menopause and you're going through all the things that we do, real life here, y'all.
Real life.
But we can't talk about it, right?
Right.
We can't talk about cycles. We can't talk about menopause. We can't talk about these things. And you're not supposed to act like you're going crazy in your body in this moment. Just keep doing your job and don't act human.
Right.
So many things, right? There's just so many conversations.
Oh my gosh. Here. We could spend hours talking about all the things.
We literally could. And this is why it's so important for women, especially, to have that trusted coach, mentor, advisor, support, cheerleader in their corner as they're navigating these situations, especially if you work in a very, very male-dominated industry.
Right.
I was 30 years in financial services, and it's still a very male-dominated industry. There's not enough women advisors. And I know that the conversation isn't very friendly in a lot of cases. So anytime you're in a really healthy, competitive market, there is an advantage that is assumed that a man has over a woman. And I say, au contraire. Many advantages that women have, emotional intelligence being one of them. That emotional connection being the second. So I love that that's who you serve. And I love that that's how you serve them differently. And you have this amazing quiz and roadmap that you take them through to help them really navigate through and figure out. Because sometimes it's just that lack of clarity. Like, I don't even know what I don't know.
Right.
So share with us about that. We've got probably 5 minutes left of
this. Yeah, for sure.
And I've got a question for you that I want to hear your favorite things, and then we'll just kind of wrap up with your final words.
Yeah, absolutely. So because we tend not to want help, this kind of helps you ease into a little bit of like help. So the quiz helps you if you think, my life is a bit crazy right now and I don't know even where to begin. Because we were talking about six areas mm-hmm. to help you get a handle on everything.
Yes.
So the quiz takes you through just some really simple questions, and then it'll tell you at the end, oh, it looks like what you need to work on right now is your physical health. Or so mm-hmm. I talk about physical, emotional, community, occupation, money, and engagement. And,
I love it. So all right. The pillars of the wheel of life, just
right. Yeah.
Got them all in there.
Love Everybody's it. Got their take on the wheel of the wellness wheel, the wheel of life.
Yeah.
But I liked this one because it seemed to cap, because engagement is what I used for spirituality. So your sole purpose, like why are you here? So it captures all of the major components, and it spells the word become, which I love.
Oh, so I love acronyms. So
right.
Thank you so much.
So it takes you through a quick little quiz to give you just a general idea of like, hey, maybe this is where you need to start. And then it just gives you some quick hit resources. Okay. I think you get like three emails that say, try this, try, you know, it's not to overwhelm people, just to here, try this. And then the roadmap is more of a workbook. It has the same concepts, but it asks questions for you to journal, for people who love journaling. Or just something to spark ideas in your head, to capture some ideas. Because I find for me, if I don't capture ideas physically on paper, they're out of my head, they're gone. That I have that kinesthetic connection that I love.
Yeah,
so I love just writing, even if I'm just writing my quick hit bullet points of thoughts, then I can make sure that they're there, they're concrete and in place. So, that's the roadmap. And it's a way of dipping a toe into getting assistance if you're feeling overwhelmed.
I love that. So we'll put the ways that they can connect with you in the show notes and how they can maybe access your roadmap and your quiz. But what is one thing that you really want to leave listeners with in identifying if they're your people or if you're their people?
Right. So if you feel, when I first needed help, I didn't know I needed help. I just felt like something's not right in my life. And I don't even know where to start. I don't know what's wrong. If I'd had a meditation practice back then, I would have been quiet enough to realize what was wrong. But I didn't. I didn't have a meditation practice when I started moving my big rocks. I just knew that something wasn't right and I needed something to change. And what would have been most helpful for me was to be able to just have a conversation with someone who wasn't going to tell me what to do and wasn't going to give me their opinion on this is what you should do, like this, here's do these things. Just someone that I could have a back and forth communication with, to bounce ideas off of, to try things on. Like with them, I could have tried on like, what would it feel like to be in this way instead of all this doing? What if I tried this on? And having those conversations would have been helpful. So did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So if you're looking for clarity, looking for answers, you don't know what's wrong and you're not even sure what questions to ask to discover what's wrong.
Yes.
That's your red flag indicator.
That's a huge red flag.
Support is needed.
Yeah.
And if you don't know where to go for support, then she has a quiz that can help you identify where to start. And if you're like, oh, yeah, okay, that really sits well. There's your green flag to say, okay, or as we call green light moment. That's your identifier to say, okay, maybe setting up a curiosity call with Heather, yes. Which I love that term because you're just curious, right? There's no, no obligation. You're just curious, but you want to see, okay, I know Karen, but I don't know Heather. Who is this Heather girl? What is she all about? I really like what she's saying, but I don't know if she's for me or if I can even afford this. I don't even know what it looks like. All the questions that we have pop up because that's what women do, right? We want to check all the boxes.
Yeah. Got questions.
have all the questions. And if you're coming from a place of trauma or fear, you want control because that's how we protect ourselves. And so stepping into the unknown is oftentimes very scary. That's why we stay in abusive situations, right? Because I know this monster.
Yeah.
I don't know that monster out there or the monster of the unknown. So we stay in situations that aren't good for us. So if you're just in a place of your head's in a fog, I don't even know what I need to start with. I know I need all of these things, right? I know my health. I know I don't have meditation practice. I don't do yoga. I don't move my body. I don't write. I don't have time. I don't have time to shower, much less have a coach. Right? Like we're just, we are in this overwhelm, fight or flight. Our body is just in this response. We're producing all this cortisol, which is probably causing us to be out of weight, losing our hair. Like I could go down the list of all the symptoms. If those are things you're like, okay, Karen, quit reading my mail, then you need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, start with the one thing that you know, which is you have control over what's next.
And it's okay to ask for help.
And it's okay to ask for help. Absolutely.
It's totally okay.
It's not even just okay. Like we're here. Like that we're a community. Women are a pack mentality. Like the men would go out and hunt and do their things and the women would gather.
Yes.
We would get together and support each other. And that's how young women used to learn was by being around the older women. And we've disconnected. Our society is disconnected from that. So that's why coaching is so valuable because you're getting that tribe of support back around you. So,
yeah, which I think is so amazing.
Yes,
so excited.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here, for what you do for the world. And I'm so excited to have you in my circle now and in my tribe. And I can't wait to support you. And I know that you have a book cooking in there somewhere.
It is.
So as do I. So we will reveal our books to the world soon. But in the meantime, we'll get people connected to you and just share your brilliance and beauty with them. And I'm just so grateful for you.
Thank you. You are amazing. You're an amazing human. So
it's
thank
a love
you.
Fest. So sending you all the love and rock movers. You can see why she's on here today, right? Like you can just tell you needed this message today. I needed this message today. We all need the reminder that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to get support. It's okay to not know, but it's not okay to stay there.
Yeah.
Take the steps, get the help, and just move the next rock. That's what we're here for. We love you. Have a very blessed day and keep moving those rocks. We would love to thank you for joining us and for our guests joining us today because this episode could not have happened without the amazing conversation of our guests. And we'd also like to thank you for tuning in, for showing up, and for being a true living rock mover, making a difference in the world and in my world. So thanks for showing up. As a way to say thank you, I would like to gift you with a free quiz. Now, this is an opportunity for you to learn more about how I coach by learning your self-worth archetype. It's totally free, but you can learn your self-worth superpowers, maximize your confidence, and discover those little triggers that I call your self-doubt kryptonite. Again, free resource. You can find it over on my website, coachkarengray.com/free-resources, or just click the link in the show notes. And finally, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe to The Rock Movers so that you stay updated on the most recent episodes because we have a lot more coming that you are going to love. And if we're not already connected on social, I would love to get connected. You can find me at Coach Karen Gray on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I hang out mostly on Instagram and LinkedIn these days, but would love to get connected and let me know how I can support you to keep moving those rocks, one rock at a time. See you on the next episode of The Rock Movers.